The award-winning Kiwi science fiction play Alone is due to make its Australian premiere as part of Fringe Festival on Tuesday, the 6th of September, taking place at the Seymour Centre. This play will run until Saturday, the 10th. I'm currently joined by Alone's producer and lead, Kat Glass. Kat, welcome to Tuesday Drive. It's so good to have you.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Now, given its science fiction setting and plot, it's no wonder that Bowie or Ziggy Stardust has casually snuck into the play's description. Could we expect some more spiders from Mars, or are the connections a bit more subtle?
I'd say they're a little bit more subtle than that, but yes, you're right. The genre sort of lends itself to some Bowie and some great tunes. Music is definitely an important part of the play, but ultimately it is a beautiful space drama that the audiences can expect to be absolutely riveted by. We've had such fantastic awards and audience feedback, and we're so excited to be premiering in Sydney Fringe.
Yeah, I mean, what drew you to science fiction, and why do you think that the genre is kind of like relevant in a stage environment when so often we see it as the realm of big budget VFX extravaganzas?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question. Sci-fi and space dramas aren't something we see a lot of on stage, but our team is so passionate about the world of sci-fi and also the audience expectations and understanding of the genre and form. It's so exciting to play in a space that we don't see a lot, to have a spaceship on stage and to challenge ourselves to figure out how to stage something without it being on screen is such a cool thing to look at as artists. And I think that was what excited us about this concept right from the very beginning, was that challenge, was how the hell do we do this?
Yeah, it's so interesting because as well, coming from like a kind of cinema context, science fiction has such a established set of tropes in terms of its like design language. Think, for example, so often deep space is portrayed with like a low droning note that would probably be a bit annoying to like keep running throughout an entire theatrical performance. How's kind of like the sound design and the set design all coming together on stage to build this spaceship? What are some of the big like tricks that you uncovered in putting this particular design together?
Yeah, you're spot on with the sound effects, actually. I think in developing the show, we really discovered that soundscape was a huge key to the genre and to selling where we are. And there is soundscape that plays throughout the entire 90-minute duration of the play, including some of my favorite scenes, which are sold only with lighting and with sound. And the lighting is sort of practical and within the set as well. You know, we've got a console that actually lights up, and we can interact with the lights. And in that way, it makes it much more organic and lived. You know, you believe that these two characters are living in this spaceship, and you're seeing and feeling and hearing what they feel. But yeah, obviously theatrically, you're a little bit more limited than you would be with screen. So the visual design of our amazing costumes from our incredible costume designer, Cordy Chaos, goes such a long way in selling that world for us.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to use the word limited, though. Like, that's kind of the treasure of stage, is that you can do so much with so little, right?
Absolutely. Of course. I think that's such the exciting thing of working in theater is seeing how much you can sell and how big of an emotional, real lived experience you can have with just the bare bones and these beautiful magic moments that we create with just sound and lighting and real performers in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, Alone deals with plenty of important, highly relevant topics in the truest nature of the genre, from climate change to feminism and isolation, unsurprisingly, is one of these topics. How did that kind of story come together? Obviously, telling a story on the back of the pandemic with the word alone in the title brings a whole level of context. That was that originally there when the script was coming together?
Well, what's really funny is that the script was originally written in 2019, and we premiered it in the 2020 Auckland Fringe Festival, actually inside of an airplane hangar amongst airplanes and displays at a museum. And that was 2 weeks before the pandemic lockdown hit in New Zealand. And when we came to stage the show again, since then we've toured it to a number of festivals, we realized that, you know, the themes of loneliness and you know, humanity kind of coming together in the face of a global challenge were suddenly way more pertinent than we ever imagined, given the COVID context. But I think that's only served to enrich the work and the audience experience of it.
I mean, was there anything that actually, like, aside from just the feeling of it, that really changed for you in the aftermath of that, like bringing it back to the stage?
Well, one of the ones that really sticks out to me is last year when we were at the New Zealand Fringe Festival in Wellington. We had an alert level change in our own COVID systems, and that meant that the audience had to be physically distanced. And so the seats were physically 1.5 metres away from each other. And so we were looking out at this audience of very isolated people, kind of having the same experience as us. And it's such a connected experience to sort of feel like we're all in this together, which again I think is the takeaway from you know, our lockdown experiences and COVID experiences in general. It's just become more rich and more pertinent as we go along.
Yeah, I'm also curious a little bit about the boosted fundraiser that kind of helped keep this show running in 2020. How difficult was it trying to get this project off the ground with the big set pieces, the sound design, like, especially coming into the start of 2020? You know, how did that fundraiser kind of help get the project into orbit, if you'll excuse the... That's terrible.
we often use the term blast off at the beginning of a season of this show. It's definitely a crazy show to tour. I think when people see our lighting and set and things, especially venues and fringe festivals that we've been visiting, they think that we're madmen for attempting it. You know, we're not showing up with a chair in a box. We're showing up with a spaceship in the back of a van or in a plane, in this case, flying over to Australia. And again, it's one of those things that's just kind of an exciting challenge as an artist to think about, how do we develop a robust set and props and things that can actually carry us from place to place so that we can take this story to as many people as we can, because I think it's such an important story with such an important message and is ultimately just really impactful, and audiences seem to just really adore it. And we were so lucky to be supported by a lot of people back at home who have contributed to our boosted campaigns to help us build the set and the components and the pieces that we need to continue to bring this show to life.
Yeah, and then the last thing I kind of wanted to get into is that you have the two leads of this, Dr. Sarah Taylor and Jessica Holland, and the story very much revolves around them, but the story isn't just about them. You know, what were the kind of narrative tricks that you found really useful in putting this story together, both writing and staging, to try and tell a story about more than just the two characters on stage?
Yeah, it was a really interesting process developing this play. So the writer-director, Luke Thornborough, wrote a first draft, and he wrote the two lead characters specifically for myself and the other actor, Courtney Bassett. The characters sort of speak with our patter. They're not us, but they are heavily inspired by us if we were astronauts living in the future trying to solve climate change. and there's so much fun that came out of that real lived experience, and we were able to, you know, develop the play over a long time through rehearsals and workshops and really nut out how much this play and this concept could achieve. It is about big broad themes of feminism and climate change and misogyny and so many juicy things, but it's also about people and connection and what really matters in life. And we tell that story through the connection between the two characters and between myself and Courtney. I think Luke wrote in total about 13 different versions of the script. And it continues to change a little bit every season as we find just juicier and juicier depths to go to in this harrowing drama.
I mean, that's also the fun thing of working with such a small team like that, is that you get a new line idea and it's not like having to retrain the whole cast, and it's just, yeah, throw that one in and it kind of could just work so well.
Yeah, that's such the joy of the characters being written for the actors in particular and being developed with us, is that we know those characters inside and out. They're ours. And Luke is such a collaborative writer and director. He's so open to improvisation and discovery and, you know, not sticking with what's on the page when it doesn't work, but continuing to push and let it be the best thing it can be.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kat, for joining us here on Tuesday Drive. I'm really excited to see Alone on Sydney's stages. So all the best for the show this week.
Thank you so much. We're so excited to be in Sydney and do a little bit of exploring and check out some of the other shows at Sydney Fringe and you know, see what Australian audiences think.
Hell yeah. All right. Alone is, as I said, at the Seymour Centre from the 6th to the 10th of September. We'll have links up on the podcast. Kat Glass, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER.
Thank you. See you.